The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
He was born in October in 2001 on a Tuesday. We named him Lucky. Now this, I want you to see a picture of Lucky. This is Lucky right up here on the top, sitting on his horse. Does that look photoshopped? It's not. That's real. I may have showed this picture before. I know it's on my Facebook page. What happened is we were living in Tallahassee, and God called us back to Louisiana to live and to minister. And matter of fact, in that last 6 months, we had some students that we were really close to that cared a lot about our journey in our spiritual life and our ministry. And they said, "What can we pray for you for?" And I said, "Well, just pray that we go and have a good start there in ministry and that God will give us a farm." Now, that's a big prayer. I had grown up in Central Texas on a little ranch, and I wanted to come back this direction, wanted to raise our kids in the environment where they would be around animals and they would see the work it is, and they'd have to do some of the work and be a part of that and grow up and be strong and all those kind of things. And I wanted them to have that experience. I'd forgot in those 10 to 15 years that I was gone from the farm, how much work it was. It was a lot of work. So we got back, and God gave us this piece of property with a log cabin on it in West Monroe. And we quickly cross-fenced it, and Karen dug all the post holes while I was at work with a post hole digger. We were much younger then, and we got this nice fence, cross-fenced. And in the back of the property, we had pygmy goats. Now, that's not ranching. That's not getting there yet. That's not farming yet. So we wanted to make it a little better. So we went and bought this horse. And we weren't really on a budget where we could afford a full-size horse. So we bought this half horse. He was about this tall, and his name was Buck. We named him Buck because of his color, and also just easy to yell Buck across the pasture, and he would come running to you. And Buck was extremely friendly, and he was also very strange. He had been abandoned. Spent some time on a ranch that was abandoned, and he was almost starved to death when they found him. And a rehabilitation company or organization brought him back and fed him and got him strong. But because he was hungry so long, he would eat anything that he saw. So he was really, really like a voracious, whatever. He ate a lot. He really ate a lot of food all the time. We had a corn crib. If he got into the corn crib, he'd eat too much. He'd make himself sick. So that was Buck. But Lucky was born on a Tuesday because the reason I know it was a Tuesday is anything that happened bad on this farm happened when I was working. It happened when Karen was at home alone with little bitty kids and the water heater would go out, the air conditioning, something would happen wrong, and it would happen while I was in the middle of something. And I was in the middle of a worship service, one of my first worship service, with a packed out house of students, and it was a big night. And Karen called and said, "I can't find," was it Lucky? We named him then? "I can't find Lucky." Lucky had disappeared. He was a brand new baby goat. He was about that big. We got every flashlight we had that we owned. Our kids from this tall to that tall had flashlights. We were all in the yard. We looked everywhere. We went to the obvious places where the food was. He wasn't there. We looked to see if he had gotten to the pond, and he had not gotten the pond. We looked, everywhere. We had a dog that somebody had dropped off and gave us that was helping us out that night. His name was Coco. And Coco was part lab and part mystery. We don't know why she was. So Coco helped us. She was out running around. And I noticed that Coco was sniffing around the tractor and then ultimately went back to the bush hog and had her nose up under the bush hog, and she was excited, wagging her tail. So we thought, this is where this thing is. And we unhooked the bush hog, and I reached up under one side of it, and I was still young then, and I flipped it up and picked it up. And you could look under there, and there was Lucky. A little bitty ball of hair in the corner in the back of the bush hog. And he was hidden in there. It was a lot of work to find him. We went to extra effort to find this goat that was worth $20. We found him. We got him back. He wasn't really dirty. We got him back with his mama, and he ate, and everything was fine. And he grew up to be a happy little goat running around on the property, tearing up everything he could tear up. I'm not going to recommend anybody. This is not a commercial for pygmy goats. They will tear up your house. You don't get to have flowers when you got them. This is what this passage of Scripture is about. If you look at Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at Luke 15 and see the nature of God and who He is and how He sees us in this world. He expresses in this passage through the writer of Luke three stories, parables. And when you look at these parables, I want you to not look at them. You can't pick parables apart and take every single sentence and make that a doctrine. That's not what this is about. Jesus is teaching a story in order to illustrate a point that is typically the character of God. It's the nature of God. And what you see in this passage, you're going to see the very first one is the lost sheep. And then the second one, you have the lost coin, if you remember the lost coin. And then I spent 8 weeks, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, on the next parable, the parable of the prodigal son. So that's all encapsulated in this one chapter. And you're seeing God relentlessly pursues people that are away from Him. He came to this earth. Jesus came, was born as an act of reconciliation of the lost ones so that they might come to God. The heart of God is that He is a relentless shepherd in pursuit of the lost. Now, you may have been that lost. You might have been unlucky and lost at some time. And you know by your own testimony, by your own story, what you could tell us today is that God loved you. He pursued you in your terrible situation. And He found you and He brought you back into reconciliation. That's who God is. He's the shepherd with a relentless pursuit. I'm going to get up here so I can see better. Across the room, I'm going to read this passage of Scripture to you. Luke 15, we'll start with verse 1. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So I want you to look at the room that he has entered into telling this story about reconciliation. You have those that are far from God, that are selfish, and that are trying to take advantage of the people, the tax collectors. Now that, in our culture, that could be a lot of people. There's a lot of folks far from God. You can see that in this community. You can see this on Facebook. You can see this on TV. You can see this anywhere you go. There is lostness, and the lostness is exaggerated. It's not just this generic, people are without God and they're sinners. It is very specific, and people are rebelling against God in this great big way. And that's the world that you live in right now. This passage, Jesus is speaking to a room full of people that are obviously rebellious, and they are selfish, and they are wanting what serves them the most. And then also in that same room, you have gotcha people. You have gotcha people that are trying to catch Jesus in a moment and making a mistake so they can go after Him and punish Him for being a heretic. That'd be the Pharisees. Along with the Pharisees would be the scribes, and the scribes would be writing down the things and trying to catch words, catch Him off base for a second so they could have something to accuse Him of or say things about Him. I don't know how... If you post a lot on social media, I post a lot. I post a lot intentionally. It's part of my job. I do things that express the gospel. I have a bigger reach of people than just one community. I have a nationwide, actually worldwide reach with people. And so I feel a great responsibility because of that. So because I have that great responsibility and those contacts, I write things that are intentional about developing leadership. That's what been the area God has given me in ministry, developing spiritual leaders. But every time I write, every single time, there's somebody wanting to catch what I said and say something about it wrong. Like, I can't believe you said this this way. So I spend time crafting what I post to make sure it's expressing truth so that truth can be heard and it not be cluttered up with somebody worried about some semantics of the post. So everything's been vetted. Most of it's been spell checked. And then we put it out there so that the gospel may be proclaimed among the masses. Here's Jesus standing up in a mass group, and he is speaking. He's saying to these sinners that are gathered around, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they say about him, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Verse 3, then Jesus told them the parable. Here now we're getting to the parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. By the way, in our living room, I didn't put this in the points. In our living room, we have a painting that somebody painted us before we left seminary. And it was of Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders. It's to say this is what Jesus is about. Seeking the lost. Seeking and saving the lost. Verse 5. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. He's talking about the nature of God. God cares greatly about the lost. We may not like them because they live different than us. Now, I don't know who you see as the lost and who you understand as the lost, but there are people that we encounter that we don't want to be around, or we don't want to associate with, or we don't approve of their lifestyle, and they're everywhere. And those people are the people that Jesus is pursuing. Those far from him. So who am I to judge those people? I worried a little bit today about my cowboy hat. Because I want to tell you, the nature of me is I was told not to wear a hat in church. Were y'all told not to wear a hat in church? Did you ever get slapped on the back of the head and somebody say, "Take that hat off"? I did. Early on, in early days, "Take that hat off in church." And then I thought, well, I'm going to bring my hat today and I'm going to wear it that 30 yards from my truck to the door. And it's going to mess my hair up and I'm going to be worried about that the rest of the day. Not only on top of that, because I don't wear it every day, I got to adjust my headrest, because you can't wear that hat when you drive any truck unless you take the headrest off, or you got to set it down in the back seat like this. Because I've been told if you set it like this, that's bad for your hat, isn't it? Supposedly. I think it's a cheap hat, it don't matter. But so we dressed like this and we acted like this and we're having fun today. Doing a roundup theme, and we're doing this to reach people, to welcome people that are this may be how somebody dresses every day. Part of the country I'm from, they do every day. This is just life. It's not some gimmick. It's not some kick that we're on. They're cowboys. My brother sings in a country band, leads a country band. He lives. This is the kind of environment. I thought it was him when I heard y'all up there. There may be people come in that would never even have seen a hat that want to come into this church, that they're so far from the culture that you grew up in that they walk into the room, in this church, in this building, into your life, and because they have a nose ring and they're covered in tattoos, or their hair may look different, or their clothes is different, you bristle against that. And I want to tell you, those people very well could be the people that God sent into your life to tell them how to know Jesus. Y'all believe that's true? And if we bristle at that and reject that, then we're not living in the will of God. Not. So I wore my hat to accommodate today. These people, this searching shepherd, are wandered away from God, but you can't get too far. Look, he could have got off my property It had been hard. It had been hard for Lucky to get off the property because we had panel fence all the way around the whole 10 acres, and it was a little bitty farm. He could have got off. It'd have been work. The truth is, he couldn't have got too far without us finding him. If you think that you're too far from God right now, you're not. You're not. He could reach you right where you are, no matter what you're caught up in, no matter what has dominated your life. He can reach into your life and save you. He cares about you. He wants to save you. Now, what we find from this passage is that Jesus had all kinds of opportunity not do this. But he chose to leave the safety and the comfort of heaven and come into this world in order to seek and save the lost. Just this passage, what does it say about the Lord? What did he do? He left the 99 in the open country and he went after the lost sheep to find it. God may call you, this church, to leave the comfort of these walls. He's probably already called you to leave the comfort of these walls, to reach out to this community, to reach people that need to know Jesus. Now, when this happens, people come to Jesus, it's a party. I would hope that as we baptize people here, as people come to know the Lord and follow him in baptism and they join in the church, that we would celebrate that as a body, that we would rejoice in that. We would be happy about that. If these people are not like us, if they are different than us, they have become one of us when they accept Jesus. Heaven throws a party. I want to read the rest of this passage to you. Verse 5, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found the lost sheep. And I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." So the first month of school, by the way, if you're a visitor here, my full-time job is I'm a college minister in the state of Louisiana. And we have 28 now campus ministries all across the state. I start getting reports in the first Monday after the first week of school. And I could just keep checking boxes. 19 saved. 49 commitments. 2 saved here. Oh, all day long, every single one of them sent me reports about people that came to know Jesus in that first week of school. And their lives were changed. And they were born again. And let me tell you what we did about that. We celebrated. We celebrated. We celebrated in my office. We celebrated on online. We celebrated among the leaders. We told church folks. We threw a party because God was moving and is moving across this country. Now, First Baptist, I want to tell you, God has called you to join the search. He's asking you to join the search to find the luckies in this world, to find people that need to know him. I don't know if you know who Wild Bill Cody is. Does anybody know who that is? Sorry, I say Bill Cody, I mean Bill Hitchcock. Let me get this right. It's Buffalo Bill. I get them mixed up. Buffalo Bill Cody. In his journey to faith, there's a book about his journey to faith. He was a wild guy. He did bad things. He was rough, a Wild West man. But he, in his last days, began to be drawn by the Holy Spirit toward God. He didn't know exactly how to be saved. And his mother was a Quaker, and his sister was a Quaker, and they had been witnessing to him throughout his whole life, and he had been hearing the gospel. But he had made friends with a Native American chief that was converted to Catholicism through the mandated schools that those Native Americans had to go to. And they became friends, and this chief shared the gospel with him and told him what it meant to be saved and how to be saved. And around 1900, Bill Cody was saved. And in his last days, he found peace with God. And I want to read to you some things that he said. This is in his last letters. Let us show the Lord we are Christians, and we will carry our cross. God ever bless you, my patient and brave sister. Remember our brave Christian mother and what she has endured. He made a profession of faith. Someone that was greatly lost, far from God, was drawn to him, turned to him, and had new life. Now that's what this Sunday is about, by the way. It's about the roundup. It's about the roundup. There are people out all around us that need to hear the gospel that Bill Cody heard. They need to hear about Jesus and how he saves. And we need to be those that are going to them. And God is calling you to join the search for the lost. Now, the night that we were out looking for this baby goat was a night of worship. We had lost people in our worship service on campus. And I got home, and we were doing all. It was stressful. I don't know if I told Karen this. I got run off the road by a semi truck on the way home, trying to get home to find that goat. I got home stressed out already. We went and looked for him. We finally found him, and the whole family was happy. The kids threw a party. The kids were happy that Lucky had been found. But look, God said something to me spiritual in that through that incident. He said, I've called you to seek the lost. Seek people that are lost and introduce them to Jesus. So one of those high water spiritual marks in life was related to a lost goat. And God may be saying that to you today. We've joined together. It's a very short service. And so just a few things are said, a few things are saying. But God may be speaking to you today, calling you out to share the gospel with people around you. If he is, you need to do that. You need to say, yes, I will seek the lost. You might be like Lucky and be lost and far from God. And today you need to give your life to him. He's calling you to give your life tonight, today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time we got together this day. We talked about the roundup, talked about seeking and finding lost folks that need to come to you, celebrating our relationship with you through music. And Father, I pray that you would be drawing people in this time of invitation to commit to you and to follow you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.